You are listening to The Brain Song with DJ Frogs, the world's most unlikely DJ with the world's worst microphone, on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives and more. Brain Song, part number G.
Rabelais invented a word to differentiate between people who laugh, what you might call the healthy tendency, and those who never laugh, the agalast, as he called them, or agalastoi. They are the unhealthy tendency, the enemy, the inhuman, because to refuse to laugh is inhuman.
People who never laugh, agalast, today we have plenty. They are not the same ones, they are not the scholasticians of the Sorbonne, but they are, let's say, the fundamentalists, they are the terrorists, the agalast today in political, intellectual, moral fields are legion, and the best, I think, one of the best remedies to this agalastic tendency is still Rabelais. Laughter is something that comes from the body, actually from the whole man, the three parts of man, soul, body, and mind. If you're interested only in soul or only in mind and forget the body, then you are not a humanist in the full and ambitious meaning of the word.
Golden age, but 6 foot tall, and took me on a journey, and there we flew over the rainbow rays.
You remember what happened at Brignoles? How Sister Fatbum the nun was got with child by that lecherous young monk Stiffcock, and how, when her pregnancy was discovered, she was cited by the abbess in full chapter and accused of incest. She defended herself that it had not been done with her consent. The abbess cut her short, crying, "You wicked creature! It was in the dormitory. Why didn't you shout out? We would have all come to your help." But the nun answered that she dared not shout in the dormitory because the dormitory is a place of perpetual silence. "But why didn't you come and tell me immediately, you hussy?" demanded the abbess, "and make a proper accusation against him." "Well," answered Fatbum, "after it happened, I was afraid of remaining in a state of sin and damnation in case I was overtaken by sudden death. So I confessed to him before he went out of the room, and he enjoined me as a penitence not to tell anyone, and not ever to reveal it."
For centuries, mental disorder was considered to be due to possession by devils. The sick people were chained in foul dungeons from which few escaped alive. Only in the past 20 years have physical methods been developed for treatment of the mentally ill. The nurse holds a towel over the nose and mouth of the patient. The operator lifts the upper eyelid, inserts the lubricant into the conjunctival sac, and aims it parallel with the bony ridge of the nose. He drives the point through the orbital plate, and at a depth of 5 centimeters, swings the handle far lateral.
The mind is some touchy-feely thing. 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 is some touchy-feely thing.
Let's say the name Paul. One woman snapped at her knees and said, "Oh, no, don't name the baby Paul. That's such an ugly gray color." And then she called herself a child. But to me, it's ugly and it affects how I feel about somebody who has that name.
We still got this big gap between the subjective experience on the one hand and this question of whether it corresponds to something out there, something external on the other.
Kesey got together a group of oddball maverick types, put them on a bus, and then just motored around America in it. The Merry Pranksters, as Kesey called them, organized acid tests, chaotic, drug-fueled happenings at which copious amounts of LSD were handed out.
Kesey went was very bold about that. A lot of people don't have LSD parties, he just was having larger ones. The really seminal event was the Trips Festival, which started out as an idea of a sort of an arts happening sort of event with all sorts of acts, but which basically turned into kind of like more acid tests. But that was so public and so outrageous. Society people started paying attention and coming then. The aim of that was pretty much the opposite of the aim of psychedelic use as envisioned by Timothy Leary, which was you wanted to control the set and the setting so that you wouldn't have a panic reaction. Which could get magnified when you're still on a psychedelic into what was colloquially known as a freak out. Kesey was much more experimental. He had a group called the Merry Pranksters who were going around trying to make things as weird as possible for everybody. They were wearing costumes, space costumes and things like that. I mean, I knew people who would take LSD and go to a fire or a race riot or something just to find out how they would handle something like that.
Do you think that your movement or your idea, the hip idea, is essentially connected up with drugs?
Yeah, I would say that's... a large part of the framework. I think that most of the people who are hippies now came to it through drugs.
Yeah, but it's not a dope movement. We're not trying to spread dope.
Yeah, I think, personally, that the more people turn on, the better world it's going to be.
Vivid, three-dimensional world.
It is a medical commonplace that the tissues of the human body replace themselves regularly, essentially creating an entirely new body every 7 years. From whence then come cancer and the slow degeneration of age? They exist as faults in the patterns of intelligence within the genes themselves. By reprogramming these smallest parts, the whole becomes well.
Life is merely an orderly decay of energy states, and survival requires the continual discovery of new energy to pump into the system. He who controls the sources of energy controls the means of survival.
The righteous need not cower before the drumbeat of human progress. Though the song of yesterday fades into the challenge tomorrow, God still watches and judges us.
Evil lurks in the data links as it lurked in the streets of yesteryear. But it was never the streets that were evil. Sister Miriam Godwinson, the blessed struggle.
Have you ever wondered why clouds behave in such familiar ways when each specimen is so unique? Or why the energy exchange market is so unpredictable? In the coming age, we must develop and apply non-linear mathematical models to real-world phenomena. We shall seek and find the hidden fractal keys which can unravel the chaos. Academician Prokhor Zakharov, University Commencement.
I hold a scrap of paper in the darkness and light it. I watch it burn bright and curl, disappearing into nothingness, and the heat burns my fingers. Where has it gone? What has it become? I cannot shake the feeling that I witness a form of transcendence.
I sit in my cubicle here on the mother world. When I die, they put my body in a box and dispose of it in cold ground. And in all the million ages to come, I will never breathe or laugh or twitch again. So won't you run and play with me here among the mass of humanity? The universe has spared us this moment. The sea is everything. It covers seven tenths of the globe. Its breath is pure and healthy. It is an immense desert where man is never alone. For he can feel life quivering all about him. The sea is only a receptacle for all the supernatural things that exist. It is only movement and the living infinite. It is the living infinite.
We are all aware that the senses can be deceived, the eyes fooled. But how can we be sure our senses are not being deceived at any particular time, or even all of the time? Might I just be a brain in a tank somewhere? Tricked all my life into believing in the events of this world by some insane computer? And does my life gain or lose meaning based on my reaction to such solipsism?
Project Piro, Specimen 46, VAT 7. Activity recorded mission year 2302-22467. Termination of specimen advised.
Heaven lasts long, and Earth abides. What is the secret of their durability? Is it because they do not live for themselves, that they endure so long?
We all like life to be sacred, but we also know the foundation of life consists of its dream of codes. Not so different from the successive frames of a watchman. Why then cannot we cut one code short here and start another there? Is life so
Without sensibility, no object would be given to us. Without understanding, no object would be thought. Thoughts without content are empty. Intuitions without concepts are blind. Immanuel Kant, Critique of Pure Reason, Data Links. As I stepped onto the mag tube, a thought struck me. Can there be friction where there is no substance? And can substance be without sensibility? No object would be given to us. As I stepped onto without understanding, no object would be thought. Can thoughts without content are empty? Intuitions without concepts are blind. Immanuel Kant, Critique of Pure Reason, Data Links.
Regresses infinitely towards smaller and smaller components.
As I stepped onto the mag tube, a thought struck me. Can there be friction where there is no substance? And can substance be tricked into hiding from itself? As I stepped onto the mag tube, a thought struck me. Can there be friction where there is no substance?
Yes, yes, we've
and can
all
substance
heard
be tricked into hiding from itself?
The substructure of the universe regresses infinitely towards smaller and smaller components. Behind atoms we find electrons, and behind electrons quarks. Each layer unraveled reveals new secrets, but also new mysteries.
Yes, yes, we've all heard the philosophers babble about oneness being beautiful and holy. But let me tell you that this kind of oneness certainly isn't pretty. And if you're not careful, it will scare the big Jesus out of you.
The fungus has been planet's dominant life since about the time of the lower Paleozoic phenomenon.
But when once every 100 million years or so, the neural net at last achieves the critical mass necessary to become sentient.
Final metamorphosis kills off most of the other life on the planet.
It is possible that we humans can help to break this tragic cycle.
Time dilates as the speed of light approaches. To the extent that light consists of particles, it is in its own way timeless. Through simple perturbations of the temporal manifold, we can refract or repel most efficiently.
The mind worms are the natural defenses of the living planet.
The white blood cells, if you will. In a world in which unassimilated thought represents danger, the mind worm seeks out concentrations of sentient mental energy and destroys them.
The substructure of the universe regresses infinitely towards smaller and smaller components. Behind atoms we find electrons, and behind electrons quarks. Each layer unraveled reveals new secrets, but also new mysteries.
We sit together, the mountain and I, until only the mountain remains. There are only two ways in which we can account for a necessary agreement of experience with the concepts of its objects. Either experience makes these concepts possible, or these concepts make experience possible. At atrociously high energy states, the properties of matter change subtly, and new miracles become possible. The plasma accretion process is now dangerous and difficult to control, but its products will soon become commonplace in our society.
The genetic code does not and cannot specify the nature and the position of every capillary in the body or every neuron in the brain.
What it
candle and difficult is described the underlying fractal pattern which creates them.
In our society.
I maintain
the genetic code does not and cannot specify the nature
with sufficient enlightenment,
every capillary in the body or every neuron in the brain.
Mind without body. North without south,
the underlying
pleasure without pain,
which creates that.
Enlightenment is a function of willpower, not of physical strength can be overcome.
Not only does God play dice, not only does God play dice, the dice are loaded.
Without sensibility, no object would be given to us. Without understanding, no object would be thought. Thoughts without content are empty. Intuitions without concepts are blind. Immanuel Kant, Critique of Pure Reason, Data Links.
I swear, sometimes they're watching me.
As I stepped onto the mag tube, a thought struck me. Can there be friction where there is no substance? And can substance be tricked into hiding from itself? As I stepped onto the mag tube, a thought struck me. Can there be friction where there is no substance? And can substance be tricked into hiding from itself?
The substructure of the universe regresses infinitely toward smaller and smaller components. Behind atoms we find electrons, and behind electrons quarks. Each layer unraveled reveals new secrets, but also new mysteries.
Yes, yes, we've all heard the philosophers babble about oneness being beautiful and holy. But let me tell you that this kind of oneness certainly isn't pretty. And if you're not careful, it will scare the bejesus out of you.
The fungus has been planet's dominant life form since about the time of the Lower Paleozoic on Earth. But when once every 100 million years or so, the neural net at last achieved the critical mass necessary to become sentient. The final metamorphosis kills off most of the other life on the planet. It is possible that we humans can help to break this tragic cycle.
Time dilates as the speed of light approaches. To the extent that light consists of particles, it is in its own way timeless. Through simple perturbations of the temporal manifold, we can refract or repel photons most efficiently.
The mind worms are the natural defenses of the living planet, the white blood cells, if you will. In a world in which unassimilated thought represents danger, the mind worm seeks out concentrations of sentient mental energy and destroys them ruthlessly and efficiently.
The substructure of the universe regresses infinitely towards smaller and smaller components. Behind atoms we find electrons, and behind electrons quarks. Each layer unraveled reveals new secrets, but also new mysteries.
We sit together, the mountain and I, until only the mountain remains. There are only two ways in which we can account for a necessary agreement of experience with the concepts of its objects. Either experience makes these concepts possible, or these concepts make experience possible.
At atrociously high energy states, the properties of matter change subtly, and new miracles become possible. The plasma accretion process is now dangerous and difficult to control, but its products will soon become commonplace in our society.
The genetic code does not and cannot specify the nature and position of every capillary in the body or every neuron in the brain. What it can do is describe the underlying fractal pattern which creates them.
I maintain nonetheless that yin-yang dualism can be overcome. With sufficient enlightenment, we can give substance to any distinction. Mind without body, north without south, pleasure without pain. Remember, enlightenment is a function of willpower, not of physical strength.
The human brain, it has been said, is the most complexly organized structure in the universe. And to appreciate this, you just have to look at some numbers. The brain is made up of 100 billion nerve cells and neurons, which is the basic structural and functional units of the nervous system. Each neuron makes something like 1,000 to 10,000 contacts with other neurons, and these points of contact are called synapses that exchange information occurs. And based on this information, someone has calculated the number of possible permutations and combinations of brain activity. In other words, the number of brain states exceeds the number of elementary particles in the known universe.
The classical frontal lobotomy, which is simply putting a knife up under the eyebrow ridge and sweeping it backwards and forwards. And this is actually sometimes done without any anesthetic.
There's a famous picture of him with an ice pick where he destroyed the tissue in the front part of the brain, which is horrific.
We have made a burhole. And then the dura has to be opened, which is a hard layer just on top of the brain. So here we are cutting the dura, and then we go through the brain, and from here, which is about 24 or 25 millimeters away from target, we start entering into the internal capsule until we reach target point.
Then we can actually insert microelectrodes. It's very, very tiny and can actually listen to the activity of one neuron inside the brain. And the activity of neurons changes from one structure to another.
It was possible, and I thought, my thesis, I found a flower child.
Only when we are silent can we begin to hear the voice that is truly our own. What the Quakers call the still small voice within. The source of this voice, which may be without sound and yet is heard, is called by many different names. The inner guide, guardian angel, spirit guide, the collective unconscious, or just plain intuition. Actually, all of us hear the whisperings of this voice every single day of our lives, but many ignore it.
Listen in deep silence. Be very still and open your mind. Sink deep into the peace that waits for you, beyond the frantic, riotous thoughts and sights and sounds of this insane world.
These darkness, it's almost solid. It's almost as if you could knock against it.
Synapses get all tangled up, as well as some proteins covering the brain, so it's called plaques and tangles, that's what the physiologists call the symptomology.
Biomolecules interact according to laws of physics and chemistry.
Love?
Yes. But all human emotions you can be mechanically explained?
Well, if we accept that we are machines, which I think is what modern science is telling us.
People can forget things and then recover them, but we really don't know what the mechanism is at the moment. We've got a few clues, we've got mostly experiments, which suggest that you can tell people to forget something and they will forget it. So, some psychologists would argue inhibitory mechanisms, things like blocking that of consciousness, really are a plausible candidate to explain this. But we just don't have the evidence yet.
Mathematical experiments made possible by funds from the Father's Lottery program have met with great success. Just 48 hours ago, our scientists tore into the very fabric of the time-space continuum and retrieved their first specimen. And a magnificent specimen it is. This gigantic winged living beast was eventually subdued and is being held on Outpost 6. The obese, sentient individual weighing in at more than 5 tons refers to himself only as the Dark Lord. All questions pertaining to his origin have been met with increasing resistance. Intelligence testing has already begun on this unique subject, with Father Ryan himself performing the final brain trial. As testing of this type is always fatal, all officers holding authorization class 4 or higher are welcome to Outpost 6 to witness the demise of this monstrous spectre. This surely is an event you will not want to miss. This message is brought to you by our benevolent leader, Father Ryan. All hail, Father Ryan.
Uncover one of the darkest and most disturbing secrets.
All security personnel, a priority for extermination order is issued for the following individual. Be on the lookout for a humanoid measuring 2.5 feet in height with wing-like protrusions from its back. The suspect is in violation of the following codes: 41-9, infiltration of Class A, B, and D security zones with intent to commit sabotage. 21-12, purposeful destruction of property and personnel, and 143-1, general mischief involving firearms. Suspect matches no known species ID pattern and is therefore in violation of the Genetic Manipulation Act or Legal Planetary Residence Order 515. Approach suspect with caution. Consider it a threat.
The adrenaline reaction is also, unfortunately, in the English language, confused by the word nerves, because nerves describe the emotion of fear, but nerves also describe the nerviness or shakiness of the adrenaline reaction.
William Hague, that's been William Hague, who's shadow cabinet to do cannabis, and all the Tory backbenchers jumped down here with William Hague. Everybody's cannabis.
It's believed that the actual letters, the sacred sounds of the letters, have an impact on soul and on heart. The very sound of those letters have a meaning, and there's a whole theory about these sacred sounds, that the entire universe is actually built upon these sacred sounds. The reciter will always use his voice to enhance or embellish the actual meaning of the verse, and this is a science.
The very sounds of those letters have a meaning, and there's a whole theory about these sacred sounds, that the entire universe is actually built upon these sacred sounds.
It's believed that the actual letters, the sacred sounds of the letters, have an impact on the soul and on the heart.
Repression. When the present has
latched its postern behind my tremulous stay. And the May month flaps its glad angry leaves like wings, delicate filled as goosebumps silk. Will the name say, he was a man I used to notice such things? If it be in the dusk when, like an eyelid's soundless blink, the dewful hawk comes across in shades to alight upon the wind-warped upland thorn, a gazer may think, to him this must have been a familiar sight. If, when hearing that I am still at last, they stand at the door, watching the full-starred heavens that winter ceases, will this thought rise on those who meet my face no more? He was one who had an eye for such mysteries. And will any say when my bell of acquaintance is heard in gloom, and a crossing breeze cuts a pause in its outer rooms till they rise again, as they were a new bell's boom? He hears it not now, but used to notice such things.
If I may do, say, a paragraph of 50, 60 words, there may be 10, 15, 20, 30 of those words bring up a flavour. As I'm reading the word, I'll read here. During the lifetime of this journey, there have appeared on its pages a goodly number of cases. I find that difficult to read. I'm getting strawberry jam sandwiches when I say life. I'm getting mints when I say time. This tomato soup. But I've got that all the time, so that's when I read, when somebody speaks to me. I've got to get through this filter first before I can try and understand what's being said.
I was listening to Krishnamurti on a spring day at his school grounds in Ojai Valley. He sat on a single wooden chair. A slight old man with a commanding presence. There were a thousand of us resting on the grass, sheltered beneath a grove of ancient live oaks. All our focus was devoted to the speaker, who challenged everything we knew about life, about ourselves. He spoke of true attention. Are you really listening? Not with the limited ideas of a thought or reflection, but in the utter silence beyond the mind. And in that instant, my mind stopped. I entered an enormous stillness. The grove seemed to expand and float, as if it were the center of the galaxy. The words came out of the trees. I felt I was totally alive, yet dead, beyond myself. All was filled with light, and a timeless, bound space was always existed, ever. As the words drifted through like a dream, I knew that I had to let go Krishnamurti. As if joy were awakening contagious, and I had caught it, felt it, entered it.
A very high
energy density.
Very frankly, often have a relatively high energy density.
Dense energy.
It will vary always in particular central personality, extroversion and introversion, which is a broad idea in this theory, and it's about the direction in which the energy goes in SD's energy. The second one is sensing and intuition. Essentially, that's about common sense, realistic approach to life, versus the more speculative, more interested in possibilities approach to life. Okay? Third one is thinking versus feeling. Thinking is about making decisions in an objective, analytic, logical way. Feeling is about making decisions on the basis of like or dislike. And judging and perceiving are perhaps the most visible of the preferences. Judging is a preference for an organized, structured way of life, planning ahead. Perceiving is a preference for an easygoing, flexible, let's see what turns up way of life.
Can you do infinitely many things? Can they do it for something else? Can they do it for so many things? 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 Can they do it for so so many things, 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 so many things.
For life processes to run smoothly, conditions inside an organism need to stay relatively stable. The process of keeping the internal conditions in a balanced state is called homeostasis. Examples of homeostasis include keeping water levels balanced, controlling body temperature, and responding to external and internal stimuli. Organisms have complex systems of checks and mechanisms to enable them to keep their internal state the same all the time.
Everything consists of tiny atoms, which are made up of even smaller particles. Particle physics is the study of these smaller particles, which form the most basic building blocks of all matter in the universe. The study of particles enables scientists to learn more about the universe and the nature of all matter. Scientists generally believe that the universe started a huge explosion in space, which they call the Big Bang.
Imagine a world of non-observable millions of years ago. No time, no summer, no winter, no flowers blossoming in the spring, no migration. Across the void of space, interstellar devils swirls around the early sun, in a merry-go-round that will ultimately become our solar system. One planet-sized object speeds its way through the cosmos on a direct collision course with our own lifeless, primeval Earth.
From this huge chance collision, the moon was formed. And by intergalactic standards, our moon is very special, mainly because it's large relative to the size of the Earth, its partner planet.
A chemical reaction occurs when substances change into new substances. For this to happen, the bonds between atoms and molecules must break and reform in their different ways. Because the bonds can be strong, energy, usually in the form of heat, is often needed to start a reaction. The new substances, products, have properties different from those of the original substances, reactants. Chemical reactions do not occur only in laboratories. They happen all around us. For example, when cars rust and when food is cooked. Acids are substances that release hydrogen ions in water. Alkalis are substances that release hydroxide ions, ions made up of hydrogen and oxygen, in water. If acids and alkalis are mixed, the two types of ions cancel each other out, and a new substance called a chemical salt is formed. The acidity or alkalinity of the substance can be measured using the pH, potential for hydrogen scale, which runs from 1 to 14. All acids have a pH lower than 7. The stronger the acid, the lower the pH. All alkalis have a pH greater than 7. The stronger the alkali, the higher the pH. Neutral substances, such as water, are neither acidic nor alkaline. They have a pH of 7.
Chess game. Once I am sure there's nothing going on, I step inside, letting the door flat shut. Another church, matting and seats in stone, a little book. Sprawling the flowers, kind of sandy, brownish now. Some brass and stuff up at the heavy end. The small neat organ, and a tense, musty, unignorable silence. Atlas, I take off my cycloclips in awkward reverence and move forward, run my hand around the font. From where I stand, the roof looks almost new. Clean or restored, someone will know, I did. Mounting the lectern, I root a few picturing large-scale verses and pronounce the R endeth much more loudly than I meant it. The A-N-A speak of me. Back at the door, I sign the book and donate an Irish sixpence. Reflect place is not worth stopping for. Yet stop, I did. In fact, I often do, and all doors end as much as a last like this, wondering what to look for, wondering when churches fall completely out of use, what we shall turn them into, if we shall keep a few cathedrals chronically unshared, their parchment plate and picks in locked cases, and let the rest free to rage with sheep. Shall we avoid them as unlucky places? Or after dark, will dubious women come to make their children touch a particular stone and pick simple for cancer, or on some advised night see walking a dead one? Power of thumbs, I will go on in games and riddles,
seemingly random, but superstitions like must die. And what remains when disbelief has gone? Grass,
weedy pavement, brambles, spattered the sky.
A shape,
less recognizable,
a purpose more obscure. I wonder who will be the last, the very last, to seek this place for what it was.
While the crew that tap and jolt and know what Rudolph's were,
some ruined bibber, brandy for antique, or Christmas addict, counting on a whiff of gum and bands and organ pipe
and organ pipe. Or will he be my representative?
Or knowing the ghostly silt he dispersed, yet tending to this cross of ground through suburbs scrubbed, because it held
unspilled so long and equably what since is found only in separation.
And thoughts of these, for which was built this special shell. For though I've no idea what I
put it fast in barn and love, it pleases me to stand in sandals there.
A serious house, on serious earth it is, in whose blent air all our compulsions meet,
and robed as destiny, and that much never can be obsolete,
since someone will forever be surprising and hungering himself to be more serious, and gravitating with it to this ground,
which he once heard was property we're wise in, if only that so many dead lie round.
The light that we think is light may not be, and the dark that we think is dark may not be, and that the darkness may be a cloak quite often for something that's very important and true.
What candlelights and half-lights can do things like eating soup,
Looking into the faces of people watching actors on the low stage,
and the secrets and possibilities that come out of the shadows.
The toilet is the perfect place to listen to the chirping of insects or the song of birds, to view the moon, or to enjoy any of those poignant moments that mark the change of the seasons. Here, I suspect, is where haiku poets over the ages have come by a great many of their ideas. The Japanese toilet is, I must admit, a bit inconvenient to get to in the middle of the night, set apart from the main building as it is. And in winter, there is always the danger that one might catch cold. But, as the poet Saito Ryoku has said, elegance is frigid.
Four and a half thousand million years ago. Imagine a world with none of the rhythms familiar to us today. No tides. No summer. No winter. No flowers blossoming in the spring. No migration. Across the void of space, interstellar debris swirls around the early sun in a merry-go-round that will ultimately become our solar system. One planet-sized object speeds its way through the cosmos on a direct collision course with our own lifeless, primeval Earth. From this huge chance collision, the moon was formed. And by intergalactic standards, our moon is very special, mainly because it's large relative to the size of the Earth, its partner planet.
A Japanese room might be likened to an ink wash painting, the paper paneled shoji being the expanse where the ink is thinnest and the alcove where it is darkest. The beauty of the alcove is not the work of some clever device. An empty space is marked off with plain wood and plain walls so that the light drawn into it forms dim shadows within emptiness. There is nothing more. And yet, when we gaze into the darkness, though we know perfectly well it is mere shadow, we are overcome with the feeling that in this small corner of the atmosphere, there reigns complete and utter silence. That here in the darkness, immutable tranquility holds sway. The mysterious Orient of which Westerners speak probably refers to the uncanny silence of these dark places. And even we, as children, would feel an inexpressible chill as we peered into the depths of an alcove to which the sun had never penetrated.
Quite spent with thoughts, I left my cell, and lay where a shrill spring tuned to the early day. I begged here long, and groaned to know who gave the clouds so brave a bow, who bent the spheres, and circled in corruption with his glorious ring. What is his name, and how I might descry some part of his great light? I summoned nature, pierced through all her store, broke up some seals which none had touched before. Her womb, her bosom, and her head, where all her secrets lay abed. I rifled quite, and having passed through all the creatures, came at last to search myself where I did find traces and sounds of a strange kind.
You are listening to The Brain Song with DJ Frogs, the world's most unlikely DJ with the world's worst microphone, on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives and more. Poor old Bernard Cribbins has the Winkle Picker Blues.
I've got those, wish I'd never bought these flipping Winkle Picker shoes. Blues. I've got those, what's the good of shoes your feet can't even use? Blues. My little toe's disjointed, the big one comes out pointed. Wish I'd never seen 'em, how the hell do you clean 'em? Cost me seven knicker. I've got Winkle Picker shoes, blues. All the trouble I've got in me plates, mates. I look at me feet and I freeze. Why was I misguided? I wish that I'd decided to buy elastic-sided booties. I've got those, wish that I could flog these flippin' Winkle Picker shoes, blues. I've got those old me aching dogs in shoes that once was news, blues. Then at youth club dances, my girlfriend won't take chances. Feel a proper knit there. All I do is sit there chatting to the vicar. I've got Winkle Picker, drives a bloke to liquor. I've got Winkle Picker shoes, blues. Hooray for gumboots.